العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين، سيما بقية الله في الأراضين الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر، عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وسهل مخرجه، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر، إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا، ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا. وقل رب أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعل لي من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. Revive your hearts and minds with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. One of the top 10 philosophical questions that has been dazzling man ever since the beginning of the creation is the issue of God's existence. This is not an ancient issue. This is a contemporary, a present, and an eternal issue that always man has been grappling with to find an answer. When it comes to the existence of God, there are many and several conflicting philosophical schools. It is monotheism, the Trinitarian monotheism, and polytheism, and atheism, and agnosticism, and deism, and many others. For many centuries they have been debating the existence of God. And their debate is centered around the personality of God, the identity of God. Who is God? Many of them acknowledge the existence of God. But who is God? And what are the attributes of God? And what is my relationship to God? And how does he interfere in my life? These are many philosophical, theological questions that remain sometimes unanswered by many philosophical traditions. This is an endless debate, not the oldest, only the oldest, but also an endless debate But when it comes to the monotheists, to the muwahideen, the believers in God, there is another type of question that poses itself. And the question here is, why worshipping, why the service of God is the most ancient phenomena found on earth? This is the most ancient practice found on earth, goes back to thousands of years ago. One of the oldest practices is the worshipping of God. Why it is so important? Why worshipping God is a human conscious decision? It's a moral decision. Why even those who reject God, the concealers of faith, rejectors of faith, the idolaters, those who associate with God, why when it comes to the sensitive moments in their life, why when they face a crisis, they only call upon God, spontaneously call upon God, and only God and nothing else, although some of them were the most powerful. They had family members, they had authority, they had aids, they had wealth, but they only called upon God. And this is the Quran in Surah Yunus. حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ. When Pharaoh, who appointed himself, self-appointment of the Most High, and he asked people to worship him, when he was overwhelmed with the flood, حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلُ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Now I submit to God. Now I realize that no one can help me at this critical, dangerous moment in my life. None but God. The answer comes to him, الْآنَ وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. We will make you a landmark, a great sign for those tyrants who are going to follow your steps and come after you. And he is today. Go to Cairo, to the heart of Cairo, to the Egyptian Museum. There were many leaders who ruled Egypt and the Middle East, but the one that you can see his face, even the expressions on his face, is that particular Pharaoh who drowned during the time of Musa alayhi salam. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ. This is a miracle by itself. We will save your body. We would not save your soul. نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ. And we want your bedan, your body, to be a great sign for those who disbelieve in God, for those who challenge God. Let them come and see. لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. The French philosopher Voltaire says, if God did not exist, it would have been necessary for the humanity to invent one, because the humanity cannot afford living without God. They had to invent one. But why we worship God? We believe in Him, we believe in His existence. But why do we worship Him? Monotheists, the worshippers of God, they say that God possesses some unique and astounding properties. Some of them are, He is omnipresent, He is omniscient, He is omnibenevolent, and so on and so forth. But the most arresting and most intriguing property of God, an attribute of God, is being self-sufficient. You know, my brothers and sisters, worshipping God is not only an expression of love or belief in Him, it's also an expression of need. We need God. If you don't need God, you would not go and worship Him. There are only few. There are only few who worship Him not out of fear, neither out of temptation. They worship Him because they truly love Him. They are in love with Him. But most people, they turn to God when they need Him. And one of the most intriguing aspects of God is being self-sufficient, ghani. Ghani, self-sufficient. And the opposite is faqir. Faqir is not penniless. Faqir is someone who has been afflicted by need. Thus Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. The entire people, even the billionaires, even Bill Gates, in the language of the Quran, is faqir, fuqara. Not that he's penniless, he has no money, but he's in need. Faqir is the one who's in need. And thus, the Sufis, the ascetics, they use a beautiful expression about me and you. When you ask him who you are, who are you? He says, I am faqir. I am faqir. I am in need to God. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. The only one who's ghani, and ghani here does not mean rich, ghani is self-sufficient. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. The only entity that is self-sufficient. When someone comes to the Islamic Center to accept Islam and embrace Islam, and I see myself having only 10 minutes to discuss Islam with this person, and usually this is for weddings and marriage solemnization, I tell him or her that, listen, there are many points of convergence and divergence between Islam and Christianity. But the most defining one is this, and I'm going to spend only 10 minutes explaining to you the difference between Islam and Christianity. We share many commonalities, but this is the major difference here. Christianity believes that Jesus is the Son of God. In Islam, we believe that Jesus is the slave of God. Slave, not the Son. In terms of spirituality, we are all the sons and daughters of God. But when it comes to the physical dimension, He's the slave of God. He's not the Son of God. Why? Because God is self-sufficient. God does not need a son. God does not need an associate. Self-sufficient means that we all the creatures in this universe need God, but God is in no need to anyone. In Dua Arafah, Imam Hussein says something very interesting on the day of Arafat. Many of you have been to Hajj and you recited this dua there, and some of you did it here. Ilahi anta al-ghaniyu bidatik. Anta al-ghaniyu bidatik. An yasil ilayka al-naf'u mink. Fakayfa la takunu ghaniyan anni. Oh my Lord. Ilahi. You don't need yourself. This is basically what the Imam is saying. Oh my Lord. Oh my cherisher, my sustainer. You don't even need yourself. You don't need yourself. You are so absolute self-sufficient that you don't even need yourself. In philosophy we say Allah is basit, is not murakkab, is not complex. Because if God was to be created from different parts, in this case one part, in order for the body, for the entity, for the person to function, one part would be in need to the other part. But God does not have several parts. And He is in no need even to His own self. Antal ghaniyu bidatik. An yasila ilayka an-naf'u mink. God is self-sufficient. Why do we need son? We need son either for my continuation, to bear my name and carry my name and my legacy and my heritage. Or I need him because I'm in need. Not necessarily financial need, emotional need. This is why in America they have some occasions where they have family reunion, like Thanksgiving, Christmas. Why? Because they need, maybe not necessarily to exchange gifts or money during this family reunion. They are in no need financially to each other. But they exchange love and affection and compassion. They need. But God is self-sufficient. God does not need to send Jesus as a son. Jesus is the slave of God. قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب. Very interesting. All other messengers, when they opened their mouth to preach, take Ibrahim عليه السلام, Musa عليه السلام, Nuh عليه السلام, Adam, even Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. When they preached, they invited people to worship God. But they never said, the first sentence was never that I am the slave of God. But Jesus, the first thing he said, these are the very first sentences of Jesus, immediately after birth, not at the age of 18 or 25 or 40. This is at the age of 2 days or 2 hours. قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا. So God is self-sufficient. And we need God. We need Him on a daily basis. We need Him all the time. So why do we worship Him? We worship Him because it's a form of sustenance. It's a form of support for us against our limitations, against our deficiencies, against our arrogance in times of success, and our depression in times of failures. Who comes to your help? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who keeps you when you are joyful and thrilled that you have achieved something? Who keeps you from becoming an arrogant person? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you fail, and when there are setbacks in your life, who sustains you? Who keeps you strong? You don't collapse, you don't die. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need Him during all times. Worshipping God is the fulfillment of our own need, our own spiritual hunger. We are hungry. And who's going to fill your heart? I'm going to speak about this in the upcoming nights. The message of Ashura is to draw us close to Allah and to the servants of Allah, Ahlul Bayt. This is the message. This is the message that you take back home with you. When you come to these sessions, to these majalis every night, number one, you have to begin at home to have a wudu. Come with wudu, purity. And when you leave your house, make a pledge with Allah. Say to Allah in your heart that I am leaving my house, my family, sometimes your business, other appointments, other engagements, to try to get close to you. اقصد القربة. Seek nearness when you come to the majlis of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. And you will see this at the end of this period, intense period of spirituality, of knowledge and understanding and appreciation of Ahlul Bayt, in particular Imam Hussein. The Prophet refers to him as an ark, the fastest ark. Sometimes you go to the ocean or to the lake, there are boats there, ships there. Some of them are slow and some of them are fast. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّنَا سُفُنُ النَّجَاتِ ولكن سفينة الحسين أسرع. When you get on board on any one of these ships, you can get to Allah. But you want to get the shortcut, the carpool, the fastest lane, you get on board the ship of Imam Hussein, the ark of Imam Hussein عليه السلام. ولكن سفينة الحسين أسرع. This is why we are here tonight. The point is to get to God, to seek nearness to Allah, to try to become better Muslims, better believers in God, quality believers. This is what Imam Hussein and his mother Fatima al-Zahra alayhim as-salam, they expect you to be after this period, intense period, after these crash courses that you take in the sessions of Imam Hussein alayhi as-salam. So why do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To quench our thirst. There is a void in every person's heart. That void is only filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can fill that void and that emptiness. Thus, the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, إن معرفة الله تعالى أنس من كل وحشة وصاحب من كل وحدة ونور من كل ظلمة وقوة من كل ضعف وشفاء من كل سوء. When you subscribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to subscribe to the fount of light, to the fount of peace, to the fount of companionship, to the fount of strength and power and inspiration. Nurun min kulli dhulma. When you subscribe to Allah, you are subscribing to the energy company. You have light in your heart. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. He is the fount. He is the only source of light, in this heaven and the earth. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Don't try to waste your time trying to get another source of energy elsewhere. Allah is the source of energy. The soul. Allah has a monopoly over energy. If you don't get Allah's energy, Allah's light, you would remain in darkness. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. And we are trying to get close to Allah. Few steps. Only few steps. I said today when I left my city, I said, if out of these 10 or 11 or 12 nights, Allah would look at us, just with one second of mercy, that is enough for me. That is the best reward for me and you and everybody else that attend the session of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith al-Qudsi says, Ya ibadi, ma khalaqtukum li'arbaha alaykum, bal khalaqtukum li'tarbahu alayhi. O my servants, when I created you, I had something important in my mind. I did not create you to make a profit out of you. This is not a business for me. This is a business for you. I made this a business for you, so you take advantage of me. Take advantage of me. Make a profit out of me when you are with me. I'm not gaining anything. I am self-sufficient. You need me all the time. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in one of his speeches, he says, sometimes man, when he has family and extended family and children and wealth and health and power and authority and happiness, he thinks that he does not need God at that point. But at that point of the peak of his strength, he needs God more than the one who is homeless, more than the one who has no family, familyless or lonely. We need Allah. Allah is not going to benefit from our worshipping. Allah has no need for our servitude. Let me give you this, present this analogy. Family is the center of love and compassion. When kids love their parents, they are not doing favor to their parents. They are doing favor to their own selves. They are helping their own selves. They are not helping their parents. If they are dutiful to their parents, if they respect their parents, they're going to nurture themselves. They're going to grow bigger and bigger emotionally and psychologically. Thus, when you help your mother or your father, you are growing here. You are learning here. You are increasing your capacity of tolerance and patience and forgiveness and mercy and compassion. So you are benefiting by serving your parents. You are benefiting the most. You are doing a connectional, an emotional connection. With what? With the richest source of love in the universe, which is your mother's heart and your father's heart. You are establishing this connection. But if you turn away from your parents, if you disrespect your parents, if you are undutiful and ungrateful to your parents, you are incurring loss at your own self. You are going to be the loser, not your mother or your father. They are not going to lose. You're going to deprive yourself from the richest source of compassion and love in this universe. And thus, the results are long-term, not short-term. I was telling some friends a story about how to be dutiful to your parents. One of them said, "Sayyid, I have a friend who's very bad. He disrespects his parents, but yet he's making a fortune. He's excelling at school. He's doing well. I see him always happy and healthy. Nothing wrong happens to him." I said to him, "The ramifications are long term. Wait. Wait 20, 30 years down the road. Not immediately. 20 or 30 years down the road, this emotional deprivation is going to manifest itself when he gets married and he has kids. At the time when he becomes a father, it might not manifest itself in financial loss. He does well. He's one of the 500 fortune making. Not even in any academic setback. He does well in the school too. But 30 or 40 years down the road, when he becomes a father or a mother, and they have kids, at that time, you find him, the way he treats his kids, very weird, very abnormal, very merciless. The story of the man who raped his daughter for 3 years. His own daughter, his own physical daughter. He used to come to her bed every night, every single night. And he would rape his own daughter for 3 years. When he was asked about it, he said, "Because I missed my mother's love and my mother's emotions." He was raised with no compassion. He can't go to the pharmacy and say, "Oh, I need some medicine, some tablets for this man." You can't buy it with several tablets or a medicine or prescription. You can't. It's too late. So when you do good to your parents when you are young, you're going to reap the benefit when you are old. Maybe many years down the road. Why do you see some kids and some youth are abnormal? Intrinsically evil. Fundamentally evil. Why? Go back to 30 years before. The way they were raised, they turned their back to their parents. They came to their parents and they said to them, "We don't want you. I have a girlfriend. I don't want my mother's compassion. I don't want my mother to love me." Our relationship with Allah is somewhat similar. When you have a good and healthy relationship with Allah, when you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to lead a healthy life. You're going to have a healthy soul, healthy brain. But when your relationship with Allah is ruined, is destroyed, nothing can substitute for that. Nothing. مَاذَا وَجَدَ مَنْ فَقَدَكَ وَمَاذَا فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكَ. When you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are missing nothing. And when you don't have Allah, you are missing everything in this universe. Nothing is going to help you. Thus, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a form of psychological or physical pressure on us. This is something that you do out of desire, out of deep desire, out of need. This is a natural need. This is why sometimes I advise the parents of introducing their kids to God in a nice way, not in a horrible way. Do not portray God as a God of revenge, as a God of anger, as a God of wrath. He's a God of love and compassion. Let them love God first. When they love God, they will take care of themselves. You don't have to chase them day and night and ask them to pray. Introduce them to God in a nice way. Tell them why we worship God. Tell them there is some emptiness here and voidness here that only God can fill. Only the love and feeling for God can fill this voidness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ here, to help themselves, not to help me, to grow bigger, to develop. When they worship me, they benefit. I don't benefit. I'm self-sufficient. God, when they existed, where nobody was here in the universe, and He did not feel lonely. He never said, I'm lonely. كنت كنزا مخفيا فأردت أو أحببت أن أعرف. God is doing us a favor when He created us. He wants to promote us through His love, through His servitude. Now, let me conclude here by saying, what is the nature of the relationship of God-man? What is the nature of this relationship? How do we relate to God? If we go to the church, if we go to a Buddhist temple, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, they all portray God for you. They have picture of God. Sometimes they have a statue of God. They want to see God physically. Sometimes they dine with God. The other day, I went to a furniture store early in the morning. It was 9 a.m. I did not find the manager behind the desk. He was in a corner in front of a statue of Buddha. And he was placing some apples and oranges there. I said to him, what is this? He said, before we eat, we feed our Lord here. We feed Buddha. I said to myself, this Lord is not self-sufficient. He needs someone to help him, to feed him. If he needs someone to feed him, then he's not going to feed me. I cannot depend on him. Sorry. I cannot depend on God who comes to me and tell me I need my rent for this month. Would you help me with my mortgage? I can't. The idea why I need God, because I need help. I need someone to fulfill my needs for me. So, they can see their Lords. They can see the portrait or the picture of their Lord. But we in Islam, we cannot see God, but we can feel Him. Deep down here, we can feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the innermost of your heart, you can feel Him and you can touch Him. You can spiritually touch God. لا تسعني أرضي وسمائي ولكن يسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن. I have chosen only the pure heart, the immaculate heart of my true servant to be my home, to be my residence, to be my dwelling. Your heart. Out of this vast universe, Allah chose to be in your heart. قلبك حرم الله فلا تسكن حرم الله غير الله. Your heart is the sanctuary of Allah. So keep it clean for Him. Keep it vacant for only for Allah. Don't fill it with materialism, with dunya. So when God arrives, you tell Him, sorry, I have no vacancy. I have no place. Don't do this. He chose to be in your heart. So we can feel Him. We can feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shu'aib alayhi salam, in his city Madian, when he was serving God, preaching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lost his sight three times. Three times he became a blind. He became a blind the first time because he kept weeping and crying. Allah returned the sight for him. He became a blind for the second time after many months of weeping and crying. And Allah returned to him his sight. The third time when he became blind, Allah said to him, "Ya Shu'aib, what's happening? What's happening? Why do you cry?" He said, "Ilahi, ghalaba hubbuka ala qalbi." The reason why I'm crying, I'm not crying for my family, not for my business, not for my sheep, I'm crying for you. Ghalaba hubbuk, my heart has been saturated and overwhelmed by your love. And this is why I'm crying. This is an expression of love to you. This is, in a sense, I am saying, "Oh God, I love you," through my tears. Through my tears. And probably this is the most sincere type of love, when you can't help it, when you can't help crying. Allah said to him, "Ya Shu'aib, فَإِنِّي سَأُخْدِمُكَ كَلِيمِ مُوسَى." Since you have such a pure and immaculate and genuine love for me, I will make one of my universal messengers. Musa كَلِيمُ اللَّهِ, the interlocutor of God. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah chose out of his messengers one, Musa, to speak with him. He used to go to Mount Sinai to speak to Allah. سَأُخْدِمُكَ كَلِيمِ مُوسَى. I will make him your servant. And thus Musa was serving Shu'aib for 10 years. Also Musa was in a higher rank, of course, before he became a prophet. But we know those men were created since their creation, since day one, they were ordained as messengers and apostles and prophets. He served Shu'aib for 10 years. This is the return of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Allah for our own dignity, our own existence, our own reward. We are not doing him a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. You are helping yourself. When you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many beautiful names. But the term Ar-Rahman has been mentioned 197 times. The term Ar-Rahim 227 times. The term Al-Ghafoor or Al-Ghaffar has been mentioned 97 times. What does this say to you? It says a lot. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He designed us, He created us to have a personal, intimate, private, personal relationship with us. To relate to us on a very personal, intimate level. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ, we are closer to him than his jugular vein. Allah uses these terms. Look at the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَابِينَ, يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِرِينَ, يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Always uses the terms of love and compassion. His relationship with us is based on love, attention, care, compassion. But it depends on us. Do you want to feel it? The journey begins with you first. The more you give, the more you feel God. The more you are merciful and generous, the more you're going to experience God's generosity and mercy. The more you are forgiving, the more you are forgiving with your family members and friends, the more you're going to experience God's forgiveness in your life. This is how we feel God. The more you move towards Allah, the more you feel Him. And this is the principle premise of Ashura,
brothers and sisters.
This is the basic principle of Ashura. It's an intimate relationship. The epic of Ashura represents an intimate relationship between Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the one hand and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other hand. Here in this life, the more we are involved with someone, the more we love someone, the more we're going to sacrifice for that person. Yes? How do you sacrifice? Why do you sacrifice? Because you are in love. If you are not in love, you are not going to sacrifice your time or your life. Imam Hussein alayhi salam teaches us the meaning of sacrifice. Imam Hussein kept sacrificing until he reached this point. Not only he gave away his wealth and his money, he gave his life until he reached the point of nothingness before Allah. He stood before Allah and said, "Oh Allah, you are the transcendent, but yet the eminent. You are the divine and I am nothing compared to you," the nothingness. And this stage of nothingness, we need some time to elaborate on this, is reserved for awliyaullah, the true servants of Allah. They reach a point where they find themselves nothing before Allah. We learn the sacrifice from Imam Hussein alayhi salam on these nights. This is why sometimes we weep, and we have been encouraged by the Quran. There is lots of encouragement in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet about weeping and crying for a legitimate cause, for the right cause, and the right and the issue of Ahlul Bayt, the cause of Ahlul Bayt is a right issue. The movement of Imam Hussein deserves our tears and our reflection during these nights. When Allah speaks about the great messengers, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمَ وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْرَائِيلَ وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَاجْتَبَيْنَا إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَنِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. Allah says, one of the best attributes and qualities of the believers, of the prophets, apostles, is to weep out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we weep out of love for Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein, this is neither self-flagellation, as some people call it, nor innovation, bid'ah. We are emulating the tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet himself says, إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ مَحَبَّةً مَكْنُونَةً فِي قُلُوبِ إِنَّ لِقَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ حَرَارَةً مَكْنُونَةً فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا تُطْفَأُ أَبَدًا. There is deep down into the hearts of the believers, deep sorrow and pain and anguish and tears for the tragedy of this man, Imam Hussein, that it would never cool off, it would never diminish. The Prophet himself was seen coming to the masjid while there were tears in his eyes. The Sahaba asked him, this is Al-Mawardi and many historians. They said to him, Ya Rasulallah, mimma buka'uk? Why we see tears in your eyes? He said, هذا جبرائيل يخبرني عن الله تعالى أن ابني حسين مقتول. He's given me the news that this son, Hussein at that time was only few years old. And this is almost 50 years before the death of Imam Hussein. 50 years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam weeps for him and shed his tears for him. Because the Prophet says, كُلُّ جَزَعٍ مَكْرُوحٍ إِلَّا الْجَزَعُ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ. Every excessiveness of anguish and tears and sadness is forbidden in Islam. If your father dies, you are not allowed to cry for your father or mother or wife or husband or even your son for more than 40 days. You can't. It's unrecommended. كل جزع مكروه. There is one exception. إلا الجزع على الحسين عليه السلام. Only this man deserves our pain. لأن دبنك صباحا ومساء. Imam al-Hujja عليه السلام says, يا جداح, oh my grandfather, I will mourn you day and night, صباحا ومساء. ولا أبكين عليك بدل الدموع دما. I would shed my blood instead of my tears over your tragedy, يا أبا عبد الله. In these occasions, like these nights, الإمام الرضا says, كان أبي إذا هل هلال المحرم لا يرى ضاحكا. When the new moon of Muharram is observed, then my father Musa ibn Ja'far عليه السلام, he would never even smile. وكانت الكآبة تغلب عليه. He will be overwhelmed with sadness and sorrow until the day of 10th arrives, the day of Ashura. فكان يوم مصيبته وحزنه. That day is the day of ordeal, an affliction, an adversity for our imams. As-Sayyid al-Himyari comes to the session of al-Imam al-Sadiq during these nights. Al-Imam asks him, I want you to recite some poetry for my grandfather al-Husayn alayhi salam. So he begins reciting these verses of poetry. Umrur umrur ala jadath al-Husayn wa qul li'a'zumih al-Zakiyya. Umrur ala jadath al-Husayn wa qul li'a'zumih al-Zakiyya. Ya a'zum la zilt min waqfa'a sakibat rawiyya. ما لذ عيش ما لذ عيش بعد رفضك بالجهاد الأعوجية. فإذا وقفت بقبره فأطل به وقف المطية. وابكي المطهر للمطهر والمطهرة الزكية كبكاء معولة أتت يوما لواحدها المنية. The narrator says, I saw the tears rolling down the cheeks of Imam al-Sadiq. وسمعت الصيحة من صوب النساء. And I heard the loud cry coming out of the women's compartment and the women's side. Another poet by the name of Di'bil al-Khuza'i. He goes to the city of Medina. Imam, when he sees him, he says, أهلاً بناصرنا ومعيننا بيده ولسانه. These are the morning nights for us, Ahl al-Bayt. I want you to recite some and eulogize Imam Hussein. Say some poetry here. بكيت بكيت لرسم الدار من عرفاتي وأجريت دمع العين بالعبراتي. وفك عرى صبري وحاجت صبابتي رسوم ديار أقفرت وعراتي. إلى أن يقول أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا. In fact, it is Fatima al-Zahra that attends all these sessions. And if you want to pay condolences, you have to begin with his mother, Fatima al-Zahra عليه السلام. أفاطم أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراتي. إذا للطنت الخد فاطم عنده وأجريت دمع العين بالوجنات. أفاطم قومي يا ابنة الخير واندبي نجوم سماوات بأرض فلاتي. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم يا الله اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا لا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم شافي مرضانا وفك أسرانا واقض ديوننا ورد كل غريب إلى وطنه سالما غانما وتقبل منا دعاءنا وعزاءنا في سيدنا ومولانا الإمام الحسين وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
Thank you.